Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Detroit Lions Breakdown Podcast. I'm Joe Kania. With me, as always, is Eric Schlitt from USA Today Lions Wire, this official Lions podcast of USA Today Lions Wire. Eric, week two of the NFL playoffs, also meaning is week two of the Lions off season. We'll dive right into what's going on with the, let's start with personnel, coaching personnel. Something you predicted last week was that offensive line coach Hank Fraley, former Eagles center, right, has been promoted to the offensive line coach, replacing Jeff Davidson.
Yep. Yeah, this was, so to get some clarity, I've had a few people ask this question to me. Fraley was brought in at the same time Davidson was. So he was part of the Patricia initial round of hirings. So this is a guy who was brought in as the assistant offensive line coach. And now with Davidson stepping down, a bit surprisingly, promoting Fraley just became very natural because they want to keep some consistency on what the offensive line was doing. So this was a very nice move for someone that they like very and have always, you know, spoken very highly of. Billy Yates becomes the assistant offensive line coach, taking Fraley's spot. He's a guy who was also been with the Lions for a little bit here. And so these are both moves where guys have, you know, moved up the ranks since being hired under Patricia.
All right, the other, it's not news because it hasn't happened yet, but it has a possibility of happening.
Yeah.
Quarterback coach Sean Ryan could find himself as the next offensive coordinator of the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, the Panthers' new head coach, Matt Rhule, is
from Baylor.
Coming from Baylor. And when Matt Rhule was from at Temple. Baylor, he wanted Sean Ryan to be his offensive coach at Baylor. But he was told no by the Texans at the time. He wasn't allowed to take that. Then the Texans allowed him to interview. The Lions then hired him, and that's what prompted him to come over. The Lions now, because Rhule is now in the NFL, and Sean Ryan would be getting a promotion in pay or promotion in role from quarterback's coach to offensive coordinator, the Lions cannot block it. They have to allow him the interview, and if they want to hire him away, they can hire him away. So it's not a lateral move. If Rhule wanted him to be the quarterback's coach for Carolina, the Lions could just say, no, we want him to stay here. But because it is a elevation in job, then the Lions really just have to let him go if he wants to take an offensive coordinator's job in Carolina.
All right, so that leads into Zach Meyer's question. What are the chances that Sean Ryan sticks around as quarterback coach, and who might replace him if he leaves?
Well, it sure sounds like he's going to get offered this job because this is the Rhule Ryan connection has been there for a few years now. And so this seems like something that is very inevitable. I would expect him to go. And if the Lions want to replace him, there's a very natural replacement. They can look elsewhere, but if they want to replace him in-house, Ben Johnson is their offensive quality control coach. Ben Johnson is a former quarterback. He was an assistant quarterbacks coach in Miami under Zach Taylor, who was the Miami quarterback coach at the time. Zach Taylor then went on to become the Rams offensive coordinator and then got the Cincinnati Bengals job, head coach job last year. So he is, him and Taylor together were there when Ryan Tannehill was brought in. So Ben Johnson is part of that Tannehill development when Tannehill was a young wide receiver converted over to the quarterback position. He was part of that group. The Lions hired Johnson last year. Now, see, Miami promoted Johnson to like a receivers coach, and he didn't do so well at receivers coach. So then they fired him. The Lions then brought him in as a quality control, but it's very natural for him to go back to the quarterback's coaching spot. I wouldn't be surprised if he got a look at the quarterback's coaching job if Sean Ryan leaves and they want to stay in-house.
He's a walk-on at the University of North Carolina, working his way all the way up to third string
A
junior in 2004. I was like, well, I've never heard of this guy.
Yeah, no, he wasn't a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Anybody could have been a quarterback, you know.
Right.
I just wanted to see where his background was.
Right.
All right. Tyler Davis, Omar, and John Lucha asked similar questions. Have there been any rumors on the front runners for our defensive and special teams coordinators? Let's start there, but then slash position coaches.
There have not been any rumors.
I want to start the rumor that Frank Beamer is going to be the special teams coach.
No, we haven't heard any rumors either way right now. They've been pretty quiet about this. It's a very similar approach to what they did last year with Bevel. It was pretty much no information coming out of Allen Park, even through the back channels. And then all of a sudden, boom, it comes out of nowhere that Bevel's the new OC, and away we go. We're kind of expecting that same type of approach this year.
Even with the defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
But it's got to be somebody who knows the system or no? The scheme?
I personally think
personnel?
It's somebody that has to be able to function within the scheme that they want to run, yes. But I don't think we're going to find out things about who they interview or who they don't. There was a report that they were going to interview Brett, that they were planning on interviewing Bielema.
Don't keep bringing this up.
But then that immediately got shut down. And then,
thank goodness.
And then
I want it to go away.
And then Dave Burkett asked his contact with the Lions, one of his contacts with the Lions, if he was part of the interview process, and they said no, they are not interviewing him for the defensive coordinator job. So he has been ruled out. So that can eliminate that fear from us with the whole Bielema should be gone. Shouldn't be part of the mix. So in my opinion, if I had to narrow it down to like three guys for defensive coordinator, I would say Jerod Mayo makes the most sense. Linebackers coach from New England. That's it. You understand the connection there. He's a young up-and-comer, smart player. He is very limited in coaching, but it would give a lot of control to Patricia. And he understands the scheme, and he specializes in coaching the weakest part of this team, which is this defense, which is the linebackers. So he is still going to be in the mix, I think, regardless. Maybe even he comes over and they give him a title promotion. Like, maybe it's not defensive coordinator, but maybe it's linebackers coach and assistant head coach. I still think Mayo's a guy they're really going to try and bring out over. But for me, I think in this win-now mode that they're in, they got to have a defensive coordinator that has called plays before.
Well, that's where I was going to go. Like, do you really want to take a team who had a defensive coordinator that was, 70 years old with loads of experience,
mm-hmm,
and have a terrible defense? Do you really want to replace him much as a young guy? You can also understand the other side. Like, well, what does it matter how old he is? If he's good, he's going to be good.
I think, in my mind, it makes a lot of sense to hire a guy who's called plays before. And that, basically, there's two guys that stand out to me. The one is Chuck Pagano. Or not Chuck Pagano,
John Pagano.
Yes, who was defensive coordinator for the Chargers from 2012 to 2016, and the Raiders defensive coordinator in 2017. Not a very sterling resume, but he has a lot of experience, and he's done well in his current role as the Houston linebackers coach. So he's going to understand the scheme. And again, that's a very critical position to understand. That linebacker's position in this scheme is important. So Pagano's going to make a lot of sense. I'm starting to lean a lot more towards Chris Richard.
From the Dallas play caller.
The Dallas defensive backs coach.
Who's kind of supplanted Marinelli during the season, right?
Yeah, and he's the former Seattle Seahawks defensive coordinator and was a former Seattle Seahawks defensive backs coach, part of the Legion of Boom. He was the creator of the Legion of Boom.
Now, were he and Bevel together at some point?
They were.
I mean, they didn't work together. They worked together, but
yes,
they weren't hand in hand with anything.
No, but they were on the same. They were the coordinators of
the same
team.
Staff.
Correct. And so Richard, he understands defensive backs, which is a key component in this scheme as well. And so you can say, hey, if you've got, I can understand the appeal of wanting a defensive backs coach at the helm as well. Lots of experience here. He's called plays before. He's called plays all the way through the Super Bowl. So it's not like he's lacking in experience either. He has a lot
of
really good experience.
Some people didn't like that about the Bevel hire.
Sure.
That he called plays all the way through the
Super
Bowl.
But this is different. But Richard is, while Richard's defenses in the past don't have the same front seven scheme that the Lions incorporate, what he's done with the back five, it really matches up well. And so I think there could be a combo here where you're like, hey, if we can lure Jerod Mayer over to work with our front six and give him a promotion, and then bring in Rashard to call the play calls and to oversee the back six, now you've got a real nice tandem of defensive coaches that you can use to operate. I really am starting to really like the Rashard, potential Rashard more and more.
The Rashard higher.
Yeah. Soon. I would like, I'm leaning towards that a lot more. I'm subconsciously saying things, right? So I don't have any indicators that tell me that he's the front runner by any means, but I think those three guys in my mind make a lot of sense. Now, as far as position coaches, the big one to watch here is Steve Gregory, who is the defensive quality control coach. He is a former safety for the Patriots under Patricia, and Patricia brought him over to be a coach. He is a very natural replacement for the defensive backs coach. All indications seem to be that he's probably going to get promoted. He's probably going to be the defensive backs coach. He may not be, but he seems to be a defensive backs coach of the future. I would tentatively pencil Gregory in at that spot. The other spots are still kind of up in the air for me. Position coaches are harder to predict because the names can sometimes come out of nowhere, but Gregory is one that makes a lot of sense.
All right, so Corey's question, and it kind of fits in where you just finished off. Do you believe the new defensive coordinator will be involved? And with the decision of the defensive positional coaches being hired, Lions dysfunctional fan says, well, of course not, because we're dysfunctional. We have to be dysfunctional in some way. So go ahead.
I think he should be. But the thing is you're already retaining Bo Davis, right, which is your defensive line coach. And if you're promoting Steve Gregory, now that's your defensive backs coach. And if you're going to bring Jerod Mayo over as your linebackers coach, then now you're filled up.
Oh, so you're saying Mayo's going to be the linebackers coach and not necessarily.
I'm saying
not the defensive
ideally.
Coordinator. All right, this is your ideal scenario.
Yes, in my ideal scenario. So, but if Mayo's not coming over, and let's say you hire Rashard, well, then Rashard's going to have a say in who the linebackers coach is. He's going to have input, but it's Patricia's going to make the hire, but he's definitely going to look for input from whoever the new DC is. I would say that's going to happen 100%. Whether or not he fully follows it, who knows? But, yeah, he would definitely seek input on that for sure.
All right, so Trey Carson, we're going to switch over to player movement, has been signed a reserve futures deal.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I'm not a big fan of it because I want to know my running backs in training camp. And I know he showed up and he played for the team, but
for a week.
I want to grow into my running backs, but we don't get that anymore.
Well, you know, with him, he's still young enough that he's still developing. He's only in his third year, right? So you're still going to get a young back that you're going to watch develop.
Yeah, now we'll get to see him in training camp.
At best, he's going to be your fourth running back, and he could realistically be the sixth on the depth chart. Like, he's not coming in like with any sort of significant role or expectation. He'll have to earn that, yeah, in camps for sure.
All right, so we'll flip over. We're going to go do a little team overview here.
Mm-hmm.
And still more emails from the listeners. So first, Robert Canfield. If you had to blame one specific thing on why the defense was so bad, what would it be? Defensive line, linebackers, play calling, scheme, other, curse. That's just another. I'm not saying curse, it's just another.
For me, it's about the inability to pressure the quarterback. If you had to name one thing, it's that.
Yes!
There's a lot
That's
of...
That's the one thing!
Yeah, right? there's
the
a lot of
thing.
There's a lot of other problems
there's
that
lot
they
of
had.
Problems,
yeah.
That's the biggest one.
The biggest one is the inability to pressure. And Hand not being available, Daniels being hurt. Like, there was a lot of guys that they were counting on to create pressure that didn't, and then there was a domino effect from there. But yeah, the inability to pressure was the number one problem in 2019.
All right, keen observations. Opposing NFC North scouts said the Lions' defense is bad because they look for size over athleticism in a recent Athletic article. Do you think that's true, and do you think it will change this offseason?
I do think it's true. I think we see that in Snacks and Ashawn and Tobai and Jared Davis and Kennard. We see size over athleticism in a lot of those guys. Davis, you could say, is both. But will it change? I don't think it will change totally. I still think the premise is built in size. But I think it would be naive to say that they don't recognize that they're going to have to put more athletes up front in order to achieve what they want to achieve. So I do think there will be some alterations, but I don't think it will be a drastic overhaul of, like, trying to get a whole bunch of Jalen Reeves Mabens on the field at the same time. I still think that they still value size quite a bit.
All right, Jimmy Jimenez. Will the public mandate the Fords issued about being a playoff team next year actually have any effect on how Quinn and Patricia operate this offseason and next season? That is, do you think we'll actually cause them to go into win now mode? Yes, I would think so.
But I do too. Yeah.
Which could be to their detriment this offseason.
Sure. Now, Quinn said at the end of his press conference that...
Team's detriment, not to them. I'll understand whatever they do.
Quinn said at the press conference that as a GM, you can't look only at the next year. You have to look beyond it. And he plans on keeping his job, and so he's planning on approaching the offseason the same way. But I mean, that's, I expect him to say that, right?
Now, yeah, he's going to say that, but yeah, he knows if he doesn't win, he's gone.
Right. So that means instead of retaining $18 million available space that you can use to carry over.
Oh, it's going to be tinier.
I think he's going to spend more of that money. It could mean that he's going to spread that money over better reserves so that if players go down, you have a better quality of player behind them. But you could also potentially see him be aggressive in free agency again. And instead of just trying to acquire one Trey Flowers, you're trying to acquire two. And there's some guys that you can spend money on this offseason, and how much they'll be willing to spend.
Old.
Well, there's some really talented defenders that are going to cost quite a bit of money, and I would not be surprised to see the Lions try and go after one of them. So I do think they will be more aggressive in free agency because of this win now and try and get guys that can impact. I think we'll change the draft too.
I'm sure we'll get into that at some point.
Yep. But
their strategy in the draft is going to be totally affected by the fact that they need a win now.
Yeah, especially at the top. So we'll talk about that.
All right, Gloria's daughter in Sparty time asked similar questions. With clear durability issues at running back, man, I can't read today. Do you think the Lions draft a running back or look for one in free agency?
I think they would look for one potentially in free agency, but it's not going to be in the first, second, or maybe even not in the third wave of free agency. They're going to look for a veteran who can run with power, who has proven durable to be durable, is going to end up being a low-cost guy who is only going to make maybe at a maximum $1 million a year $1.5 million maybe max if you want to get a specific guy. So that means if you're hoping for Rashad Melvin or Henry from the Titans, you're not getting those guys.
Oh, Derrick Henry?
Derrick Henry. Yeah, you're not getting those guys.
Who's the first guy you said?
I said Rashad Melvin. That's
okay, he's a defensive back. Where are we going with this?
Sorry, Melvin from San Diego.
Oh, Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, Melvin Gordon. Sorry, I don't know why I messed that up.
That's all right.
Melvin Gordon from the Chargers. I don't think you're going to go after those guys. Those guys are going to toss too much money for what they want. I think they have two guys that they're comfortable with at the top, and they're comfortable with depth players, but I do think they will want a veteran who's durable. In my mind, the guy that makes the most sense is Jordan Howard. He played for a long time injury-free in Chicago, was injured in Philly this year for the first time in his career, and ended up going down to like third string for them. They didn't use him a whole lot. His price is going to drop. It's going to fall off the cliff. And so he's going to enter the offseason by not being used in the final 2 weeks of the year or the playoff. And people are going to forget that he was a power back starter who had good hands in Chicago just 2 years ago. He's going to be cheap. I think people are going to overlook him, and I think they're going to hit some of the more notable names in free agency. And a guy like Jordan Howard can end up costing pretty, could be pretty inexpensive, and could be a guy who they bring in on the cheap in the third or fourth wave of free agency.
And a very nice final year in Indiana in college.
Oh yeah, Jordan Howard was good.
The Gloria's Daughter and Sparty Time, their other question, what are the odds the Lions take a running back within the first three rounds?
Less than 10%.
But in the in your little vote for the pick that you did this week on Twitter, their third round pick was a running back.
Yeah, but I think that was more because
it was the one
value
of the four choices.
Yeah, it was
quite obvious you'd take him.
Yeah, and sometimes those simulators throw screwy picks out there.
Because screwy things happen in the actual NFL.
Exactly,
draft.
And that's why
somebody,
I did it.
Videotapes themselves smoking an illegal substance that may not be illegal anymore inside of a gas mask. And all of a sudden, he's falling to the third round. Those things happen.
Or at least pick 16.
What was it, pick 16?
Yeah, something like that.
See, this is why they blew it up too much.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, he went way down there. All right, Brandon Kerr's question. Is Isaac Nauta potentially the Lions' H-back or a combo tight end fullback?
Yeah,
the main guy.
Yeah, the trick is he's got to beat out Bowden. And he doesn't have to just beat out Bowden on offense. He's got to beat him out on special teams. But Bowden is coming into his third or fourth. This will be his third year.
He's been hurt
so,
for 2 years.
And he's got some durability issues. And Nauta's young and is more multifaceted. I could see them keeping four and not keeping a fullback if Nauta proves to be a better special teamer for sure.
All right. Keith. Oh. Gio.
Oh, I don't know.
I didn't think I pronounced it. All right. So, Keith, let us know. Pretty clear Wagner isn't the answer. Do you think the team eats so much dead money by releasing him? Yeah, how much dead money is there?
I updated the salary caps, you can take a look.
Over to
he will cost them about $5 million and change. And he will free up, I think, around $6 million. So let me get the official numbers. Yeah, he'd free up $6.1 million. So he would only have like $5.8 million in dead cap. So it's not bad. It's not as bad as people make it out to be.
Damien Easley was much worse.
I think that they could. I think that he's very vulnerable. I do believe that for sure.
Wagner, the fourth highest paid player on the team going into next season at $11.9 million a year.
That's a ton to play a guy who just graded out in the 60s as under PFF's scheme and seems to be declining. I don't think Wagner's as bad as we think he is, but he is definitely the fifth best offensive lineman they had behind Joe Dahl. If that tells you what I think.
Yeah, no, he's bad. Well, I was talking last year, I thought he was bad.
Yeah, I thought he struggled.
All right, Richard Newman. Why in the world would we not sign Glasgow? Warford, prime example of mistake. We have money. We need to protect Stafford. We need to fill holes elsewhere. The guy has done all Astevin. A Michigan man who wants to play for us. All right, so that makes a big deal for me that he's a Michigan man. We got to keep him around because of that.
Well, okay, so just to quickly address the Warford thing, we have talked about this, and I think we're far enough removed we can talk about this freely. Warford left because he didn't like Prince as the OL coach, and he said, Prince is the OL coach, I'm not resigning, and Caldwell retained Prince, and that's why Warford left. It didn't matter how much money they were offering Warford, he disliked Prince that much that he would not come back if Prince was the coach. It was pretty much a line in the sand. If he's back, I'm gone. And that's why we lost Warford. I do think could have a similar impact, though, because this is a guy that you've drafted, bred. He's really turned into be really a phenomenal player. In my opinion, he's one of the top 10 or 11 guards in the league. He's really had a really good year, in my opinion. Why in the world wouldn't we keep him? It's price.
Yeah, it's
all about that price.
We just mentioned what Rick Wagner gets paid. Taylor Decker gets paid $10.3 million a season. So 2 years, top six highest paid players are offensive linemen. And not too far down the list is Ragnow at only $3 million. But you're looking at we're, what, 2 years away from when he's going to get a big raise.
And you're going to get a first rounder and probably three draft picks that figure up into that top 10 too. So that'll push some of those guys down. But yeah, there's a lot of money invested in there. And we've talked about this. Unless you're cutting Wagner, I don't know if you can afford Glasgow. If you cut Wagner, I think they might pony up and keep him. But based on how they used him, based on the rotation, based on them not talking
to
him
during the offseason, was bizarre.
So bizarre. Maybe with Davidson gone, they changed their attitude on that. I don't know.
It'd be nice to have him around. It'd be nice to have a good offense. Although, if you keep the band together, it was great at protecting the quarterback, but I did a very average job of creating holes for the running game.
I have hinted that they would go after a guy like Karras from New England.
New England. So to have, like, uncle, like nephew, isn't that how it lines up?
Yeah. Right. And so you're bringing back a Karras, Alex Karras' nephew.
Bring back the name, back to the team.
And you can plug
hopefully not the gambling.
And it's going to cost you half of what it's going to cost you for Glasgow, maybe less than half. And he can be a serviceable guy. And I think they just want, they don't want to pay that much. I think they'd rather have three guys that they all pay under $5 million than one guy who makes $5 million and one guy who makes $10 million. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, Daniel Reese's question. What linebackers could be free agents around the league, and are any a fit for our scheme?
You know, I think there's more that fit the scheme than you'd think. Size is really the most important thing, in my opinion. You want to get a guy, if they're going to add a guy, which I'm not sure they would, it would have to be a guy that would be comfortable in the scheme. Aladen Roberts is a New England guy. That
I was going to say, I'm looking for all the guys where it says Patriots.
Yeah. Roberts is a guy that I know Patricia was interested in previously. He coached him previously. He would be a guy who could come in and give you another linebacker who wouldn't take a lot to acclimate, and he's got some coverage skills, shouldn't break the bank. And but like I said, we've talked about this, I think they're more comfortable at linebacker than the fans are, and I think adding anybody might be a pipe dream at this point. Maybe they add a young guy, maybe they go after a guy like Roberts who they could, you know, plug in pretty easily. I don't know. Linebackers is a tough one right now. But Roberts is probably one of the top names to keep an eye on, just based on familiarity alone.
All right, MSU Lions fan and Rich Konajnecht. I used to do it better. They have similar questions. First one, what holes need to be filled the most this offseason?
So you have starting holes.
One offensive line spot.
At right guard.
Yeah, right guard.
You have a starting hole at slot receiver. And you have a starting hole at third safety. Those are your three starters. Beyond the starters, you could upgrade your corner, you could upgrade your edge, you could upgrade your tight end three, upgrade your defensive tackle. Oh, you're also going to need a long snapper and a punter.
Those, we're getting rid of Muehlbach?
No. I don't think so. If he comes back, he's back.
Oh, he's an unrestricted free agent.
Right.
We gotta, yeah. They got to keep him.
So that's nine spots that they're going to fill. The main key starting spots, though, receiver, guard, safety, and then, like I said, upgrade at most spots on defense.
All right, what positions need to be filled through free agency to allow the team to draft best position available throughout the draft, or best player available, excuse me?
The key thing that the Lions are going to do is when they have a starting hole, they are when they have a starting hole, like a guard or slot receiver, they typically sign a guy and draft a guy. And so you're looking at receiver, guard, potentially safety, being a spot where they could sign and draft a position to each one of those, or a player at each one of those spots. Now, I expect all three of those spots to be filled in free agency. I also expect them to sign a tight end three in free agency, a long snapper, a punter. The upgrades, though, is where it gets tricky. I think they could afford to upgrade either a defensive tackle or an edge player in free agency. and then you probably go to the draft for the other one of those spots. And the same thing with corner, it's kind of 50-50. Do you want to go back to the draft? Do you want to sign a veteran? I'm not sold on that. But most of the spots that they're going to have holes at, you're going to see them sign a guy in free agency that can at least toe the line until the rookie is ready. And because they don't like the only rookies that typically start right off the bat are your first rounder, and then after that, the second and thirds end up working their ways in as the season.
Out.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's not too much. They're going to be picking 35th in the second round, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's not too much to ask for that player to also be a starter.
I agree.
The next question is from Jim. Who should be the Lions' biggest free agent target? And don't say Tom Brady, because we know it's not.
So if I'm going to spend a lot of money, I'm going to spend it on a pass rusher or an interior, like, run stuffer. Somebody that I can use if I need to replace
luxury
snacks,
items.
Right? That's where I would spend the most money. And while they might not be the number one, like, player that this team needs to add, this is where your most money is going to go. So if I'm going to spend money, my top pass rushers are like Eric Armstead on the defensive line, but I really like Matt Judon from
the Ravens. He might have a Super Bowl ring
on
his finger.
Local guy, right? Played at did he play at Saginaw Valley? Right?
That sounds right.
So he's a guy that they could bring back. He could play that Jack linebacker role, and it would be studly. Like having Judon on one side and Flowers on the other would be crazy good. Do I think they'll spend the money on him to then
Grand Valley State?
Grand Valley.
Also went to West Bloomfield High.
That's right. Do I think that they'd spend money on him and then put Kennard on the bench? No. Would I like them to? Absolutely. In my opinion, Judon should be he could be the biggest difference maker in free agency if they ponied up and wanted to spend money on him. I just don't think they will. I could also see them spending like a defensive run stuffer like DJ Reader, Jordan Phillips. These are guys that would fit well in the system, are guys that are premium run stuffers but also have some pass rushing chops, and they could really help bridge the gap if Snacks is gone or if he's going to be gone in a year. They could help out by replacing Ashawn now and then Snacks later. I think both of those guys make some sense. There's a couple others, but those are the big ones. I also wouldn't be surprised to see them go after an aging veteran at corner.
Oh, I thought you were say aging veteran on the defensive line.
No.
And bring back Ndamukong Suh.
I would like Logan Ryan or Chris Harris is a guy they tried to trade for from Denver. I could see them trying to go after either one of those guys as a stopgap for or insurance for Owuarie. I think they want Owuarie to start on the outside, but if he's not ready, I think a guy like Logan Ryan or Chris Harris would help bridge that gap, and then you could also potentially have insurance if Slay leaves the following year, and you would have an in-house guy there too. So again, those guys are going to cost some money, so maybe they look at a guy more on Rashawn Melvin's level of pay, which so it's going to be a guy lower down on the tier. But if I'm going to spend money, if you're talking about where are my top targets, those six guys make a lot of sense right now.
All right, we're going to flip over. We're done with free agency. Is there any luxury items that you'd like them to have, even though it wouldn't make sense?
What do you mean?
Would you want them to have Derrick Henry?
Mm-mm.
No.
No, I think you're still operating within a budget where you need to.
Wait, all right, here we go. You're thinking, yeah. You're not thinking up here. You can't think up here or down here. You want to think right in the impulse zone.
If I'm spending money in free agency, I'm spending it on defense, on a defensive player that I think I can trust.
All right. I see you're not going to have any fun here.
Nope. Sorry.
All right. Let's switch over to the draft. Nick Coscarelli and Nick the Greek, since they're both Knicks, ask similar questions. How many teams could realistically call Detroit about trading up to number 3? This is the question on everybody's mind.
There's 3 teams. You have Detroit at 3, then you have the Giants at 4, who just drafted their quarterback, right? So they're not going to draft one. And then Miami at 5 is your first team that's going to want a quarterback. The Chargers at 6 because Phillip Rivers is aging.
And a free agent.
Correct. and the Carolina Panthers at 7. So 5, 6, 7 are all going to want quarterbacks. Now, I'm going to skip down to their next question that Nick the Greek had was, do the Giants really never trade down? Gettleman is their GM, and he does not trade back.
It's the first time for everything.
There is. But when he had the number 2 overall pick and he wanted Saquon Barkley, he wouldn't even take phone calls to listen to offers. Like,
he wanted Saquon Barkley?
I understand. But I mean, to not even entertain a phone call is, I don't know how you GM like
negligent.
That. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, somebody blows you away with an offer.
But when he was the Panthers GM, he never traded back either. He just doesn't. He's against it. He likes just picking where he picks. And I think teams know that. And so I don't think teams were going to be calling Gettleman about that fourth pick saying, hey, I want to trade up to get ahead of Miami. I think they're going to call Detroit. Now, maybe they're going to call Washington because Washington maybe is comfortable where they are with edge rushers and they don't care about Chase Young. And let's say Washington wants to entertain some. Well, yeah, sure. You could call Washington and get ahead of the person who's talking to Detroit. But it's going to cost less to go to Detroit than it's going to go to Washington. So Detroit's in a real good spot to trade back. I like where they are.
All right, so you're saying Miami, the Chargers,
and the Panthers.
The Panthers can all move up to number 3. What do they have to offer to move up to number 3?
Well, that's the trick, is you have to have the right price, right?
Yeah, because I want a couple of first-round picks if you're going to move up and take my first-round pick, at least.
So that gets into their next question.
All right,
sorry.
No. Does having a lot of interest in the pick drive up the price in the trade?
Yes. So if you have a lot of interest from these three teams, that's going to drive up the price, but also is the player that they're trying to acquire. If they're trying to if it's going after a quarterback,
Tua.
the price goes up even more, right? So Jeff Risden just wrote an article about the 5 times the number 3 pick has been traded in the last 2 decades, okay? Mm-hmm. The last time number 3 pick was traded, it was Indy to the Jets, and they took Sam Bradford. No, that's not right.
No,
they took
Sam Darnold. Number 1 overall.
Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold.
Right. Sorry, I apologize. They took Sam Darnold. They only traded back to 6. And then the Jets gave them 2 second-round picks, 37 and 49.
That's because 37, that's fifth pick of the second round. And what was it, 49?
49.
Well, that's not bad. That's 7. That's in the middle of the
right.
second round. So you can get 3 starters out of
that. So what Indy did was Indy went from 3 to 6. They still had their 35, and then they had 37 and 49.
That's pretty nice.
That's a nice haul. And I think that would be close to the going rate of what they would want, right? The year before, the Bears traded up for Trubisky from 3 to 2, and the Bears had to give up a 3rd and a 4th just to move up that
one spot.
Right? When you get and but those are the two situations with quarterbacks. When you go back down to 2013, Oakland traded to Miami, dropped all the way down to 12, and only got a second rounder out of it. But that was for a pass rusher in Deion Jordan. And then you go back to 2012, Minnesota gave up one spot to Cleveland to go get Trent Richardson. So they dropped from 3 to 4. They got a 4th, a 5th, and a 7th. Again, not a lot, right? But this shows you how when there's a quarterback available, the price goes up. So people are going to want that quarterback. The quarterback itself, the position is going to cause an increase in value. And I think as we've gotten later in these years, the 2018 and 17, you can see the price is much higher. I think quarterback is part of that. I think a change in the times is part of that. If I'm Detroit and I'm dropping, let's say, to 6, let's just say they're trading, or let's say a team wants to get ahead of Miami and they trade to 6, they're trading with the Chargers. If I'm dropping to 6, I want at least one day 2 pick, and then I'm going to ask for another pick somewhere else at a minimum. And it's probably going to be another day 2 pick either this year or next year. And so
it'll be this year. They're in win-now mode.
Yes. And you're right.
They'll leave the cover. They'll start trading next year's first draft pick.
Right. I could see them like taking a second, a third, and next year's second from the Chargers, and then trading next year's first to trade back in. You know what I mean? Like, I could see them doing all kinds of wild stuff. But yes, the price goes up with the quarterback. The price goes up with 3 teams all in a row wanting a quarterback. So it's a good spot, and there's some prices to be had. You could end up with three top 50 picks, not including
our,
you could acquire three top 50 picks. Yeah, so you can end up with four picks in the top 50 by trading back if you're smart.
We'll see how smart they are. Nick the Greek has a follow-up question. Do you think the Lions front office is smart enough to spread rumors that they are considering drafting Tua in order to convince other teams, especially the Dolphins, to try and trade up for the pick? If they're smart, they'll do that.
Yeah, and I think they've already started laying the groundwork by saying quarterback is on the table again. They're going to send scouts to the quarterback workouts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And those scouts are going to be blatantly obvious that they're there. Like, they're not going to be standing in the shadows.
Shirts.
Oh, they always do. But they're going to be...
loud Lion shirts.
They're going to be loud, and they're going to be right up front, and they're going to be charting the crap out of those quarterbacks, and everyone's going to see them there. They are going to put on a show at both Alabama and LSU's workouts, okay? Now, if Stafford's not hurt, I think it's a harder sell, especially the way he was playing. But with Stafford being hurt and ending on IR,
is it really that hard? Even with the way he's playing, with the, you know, and with the injuries, like, it's not that hard of a sell. I mean, I wouldn't expect it, but
if I'm Quinn, it's very possible. I'm saying I've got a 31 going on 32 year old quarterback who's had back surgery and then ended up on IR with a back surgery. I'm looking at a quarterback, and I think that,
especially one with Bo Jackson's hip,
and I think people will believe it, because it's a lot easier.
It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, so I think it's a lot easier to sell this year than last year, for sure.
All right. Tyler Davis and Jared asked similar questions. Is taking Tua Tagovailoa really a bad thing? We could groom him behind Stafford and then potentially set up our team for the next several years at quarterback. Except for we won't win now. Which, you know, depending on your view.
Yeah.
Because you don't get a starter. You're not adding a starter to your team.
I think if Stafford...
with your third overall pick.
I think if Stafford was Philip Rivers or Eli Manning, like if he was their age, if he was 37 and they're 38 instead of 31,
yep.
It's a lot more realistic. And if they did not have a win now ultimatum hanging over their head, then yes, I think that's probably... it could be realistic. I think with Stafford playing brilliantly and then getting injured and still having 2 years left on his contract and them being in win now, I think you have to walk away with a player at three that's going to make a massive impact on your team, or you're trading down for a player that's going to have a massive impact on your team. I don't think you can afford to spend a pick that high on someone who's not going to play for potentially 2 years.
One Pride, our buddy Tim from Germany. Would you take Joe Burrow if he is there at three?
I would not. I would. It's the same thing in my mind. Both Burrow and Tagovailoa. I at one point I had Tua ahead of Burrow.
Yeah. And this whole year, the injury changed.
And Tua in this system would be phenomenal. In this system, I think Burrow would be too. But. I think it's the same scenario. I think if he's there, you trade him for a wealth of picks and you walk away.
Yeah. All right. Sean Sweeney, why is it a foregone conclusion that Washington is taking Young at two? The Redskins have drafted defensive line early in the past several drafts. Is it out of the realm of possibility that they go left tackle and Young falls to us at number three?
It's possible. Like we said earlier.
Is that a bad scenario if that does happen?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's a bad scenario. If they,
you still think they still lean to trading the pick?
No, I think they would take Young.
Take Chase Young.
Yeah, I think they would chase Young and just walk away. Here's the thing. Okay, with Washington, and last year they took Montez Sweat. He's a primary starting outside pass rusher.
And he makes commercials.
The year before that was Daron Payne, who plays on their defensive line. The year before that, they took Jonathan Allen in the first round, who is a defensive end edge rusher in their system. And also in that year, they took Ryan Anderson, who is also a starter on their team, who is a pass rusher as a linebacker. That's four players taken very early, but I still think Young is in the mix for them.
It's in a premium position.
Yeah.
It's different if they draft – no, this is going to straight – if you draft four wide receivers in a row or whatever. Defensive lineman's right. A different story.
Right. I do. They would have to change their scheme up but I think they could change their scheme up and find a fit. They also have Ryan Kerrigan. Don't forget about that.
I was going to say, Kerrigan's still on that team. He's still producing.
Right. So they have a wealth of pass rushers, and they have no offensive line talent. They really don't. Trent Williams is not coming back after the way they dealt with
Ron him. Can't save that relationship?
I don't think so.
I think he hates Snyder, too, is a big reason.
Yeah, I think the way that they treated him and they addressed his medical issues is just, that's a bridge that's been burned. if you really think that there's a tackle and he's worth it, I could absolutely see them doing that. The issue is that I could also see them trading out in order to, because they think they can get one of the tackles a little bit later. Now, if they trade out, trading out for a team that wants a quarterback, or do you trade out for a team that wants Chase Young? You know what I mean?
Like, so their pick's worth even more.
It just
obviously
depends.
Two over three.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know what's going to, like, Washington is going to obviously play a pivotal role, but yeah, there's not, even if they don't want a pass rusher, there's still a way that Chase could still get taken at that spot, even if Washington's not there. Could he fall to three? Absolutely. Bosa fell to five, right? You know, like, it happens. You know, even when things are obvious, it happens. So, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I think he's such a talent, he makes sense to go at that second pick.
All right, next question from Mathis. I think most people agree that we need better pass rushers for this defense, so why does everyone ignore Derek Brown? Would add to that pass rush. I'm not ignoring Derek Brown, but I'm not anybody.
And for a long time, Derek Brown was getting mocked to the Lions.
He's fat and fast.
And and he's powerful, too,
very
right?
Powerful. Excellent player.
Kind of like he's kind of like an Albert Haynesworth, right? Where he can pass rush, he can run defend. He's hopefully without the head snapping issues. But his pass rush, the reason
passionate. The reason
that I think he has been, see, he can handle double teams, he can handle triple teams, he can do a lot of good stuff out there. I don't think people are ignoring him. And I do think an interior pass rush is a major priority. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if the Lions viewed an interior pass rush as a bigger priority than an outside pass rush, which means they may have Derek Brown high on their board right next to Chase Young. You know what I mean? I do think Derek Brown is very much in consideration. The issue has been his pass rush has been a bit inconsistent. While his other aspects have been very good. And if you're taking a defensive interior player in the top five, you don't want to have inconsistency in that pass rush. You want him to be a dominant pass rusher all the time. And he's not. But he does so many things that the Lions like. I think he is still going to be in the mix at three.
All right. Jimmy, Justin Hybers, and Daniel Cornell ask similar questions. Joe Burrow and Chase Young are gone. Who are you and Joe picking at number three in the team's current state, assuming no viable trades have been offered? So they have to pick.
You have to pick. You want to go first?
Derek Brown.
Yeah, honestly.
We're going to agree.
In my opinion, I would go Derek Brown too.
Yeah.
Now, it's going against the trend, though. Derek Brown, for a long time, like I just said, was the pick that most people were mocking. And then
playing against future NFL offensive linemen on most weeks.
I know, yes, and being double teamed by them and still beating them. Everyone has switched, almost everyone across the board has switched their pick to Okuda, the cornerback out of Ohio State.
Sometimes it takes corners. I mean, I don't know. It takes any player time to adapt to playing in the NFL. I guess I can't really argue with it. I'd rather have Brown. I was going to say it'd be easier to find defense. I don't know. You're going to sign a bunch of defensive backs. A ton of defensive backs are going to play for you. But Brown's a guy you could play at every down. You know?
In our fan mock, it was Okuda, and then Brown was number two.
Was Tua not there?
He wasn't an option.
Do you think they made him go second? Oh, no, because then Chase Young would have been an option.
I don't know if he was. I did this before he declared.
Okay.
Okay.
So I wonder what the fans. Maybe a lot of fans would pick.
Maybe I'll throw him in the next one.
Yeah,
I'll do another one on Monday.
That's not nuts. long-term thinking, you know, if somebody knew they were going to be around for a long time, might really consider doing that.
I think Okuda, for this system, again, you need a corner that can shut down, and him and Slay would be terrific. And if you think you're losing Slay in a year, then maybe you make this pick. But in my mind, the Lions need an impact interior guy, and if you don't sign like an Eric Armstead in the offseason, Derrick Brown just makes a ton of sense. And so that's who my pick would be, too.
All right, so we're going to skip over the rest of this, and many of these questions are evergreen. So
yeah, we'll hold on to it.
If you're listening and you haven't heard your question, we might be able to get to it next week. Also, we've mentioned it a few times here in the podcast, but Eric Scott is, during the week, he had this Twitter mock draft, and this is version 1.0 of it, where he gave four options to all of his Twitter followers, and they voted on who the Lions are going to pick. And you wrote an article about it, too.
Yeah. I'll do it every Monday.
Very interesting.
So what I'll do is...
For J.K. Dobbins went in the third round. A lot of people thought that was insane.
My goal is every Monday to do this. And, Okuda went first. Gross Matos from Penn State went second. His stock's on the rise, so he might not even be there. Dobbins, slipped to the third, so I threw him in there to see what would happen. He likely wouldn't be, but I threw him in there just to see.
Yeah, it's fun.
They went tackle in the fourth round, which, you know, I think that makes sense. I do think the Lions are probably going to take a tackle in the first three or four rounds, the first 100 picks. They're probably going to grab a tackle because they're going to need someone maybe to replace Wagner this year and or next year. So grabbing a tackle early makes a lot of sense. Duvernay from Texas, the slot receiver, he's really good. And he's a guy that both Jeff Risden and I like a ton. He's going to be at the Senior Bowl. He's going to be at the Senior Bowl where the Lions will be coaching. If he gets put on their team, they're going to get an up-close look at a slot receiver who could be hugely impactful.
At this point, I know a lot's going to change in the next couple of months. Is he still in that fifth round territory?
I think he'd be earlier. But this is
third round earlier?
It's hard because this is such a deep class. I could see him going in the fourth. But he's one of the top receivers in the NFL or in the college ranks, like statistically this year.
Boyles was a sixth round pick after doing this.
Well, oh God, there's so many guys.
Never mind. Yeah. I'm an idiot. I retract that statement. If we edited this, I'd take it out.
But Duvernay he's not gonna be an outside number one type guy. He's gonna be a slot gadget, and those guys in this class I think will probably fall a little bit. I kept pushing Logan Wilson in there because I was trying to get Logan Wilson's name on Lions fans' minds because he's a linebacker that fits Patricia's system like a T. He's big, 250 pounds, and he can cover. That's something that you can't say out a lot of these guys. So, and then they went defensive back in the last round.
Because every team needs to take one.
Basically,
in the draft.
Yeah. Well, this would have been two,
Oh, that's right, because they take Okuda in the first round. I want to give him Derrick Brown.
Maiden would have basically just been C.J. Moore. He's like a better version of that. So it'll be interesting to see how this progresses as the season rolls on. I'm going to try and do as many of these as I can. I usually get to like eight of them a year, and then I peter out. I think if I can do them all, then we'll get closer to double that this year, which would be great. We can see a progression in fans. So,
all right, that's it. That's all we got. No movement on our number of reviews.
Yeah, no, still 256.
We're stagnating, but thanks for listening nonetheless.
Yep, that has stalled. I have not checked the Spotify numbers to see if we went up. We were moving up in that.
Yeah,
last
we were moving
week.
Up in the rankings.
So hopefully we continue to grow up there. I tried getting in and I couldn't. I ran into a little block there for a second. Yeah, I couldn't remember my password. And so I think Spotify, we're doing okay. And the one thing that I wanted to mention was that we're going to... I mentioned last week we were looking into starting a Patreon. I have officially done that. I have started it. We do have a Patreon for the podcast. If you're a Patreon subscriber, or you know, you have a login, I guess, for them. You can find us just by typing in Detroit Lions or Detroit Lions Breakdown, and you can see we have like we're going to have three tiers of participation that people can participate, that you know they can contribute at. Just a standard dollar is just say a nice thank you. That's always going to be appreciated from us, just like all the reviews are. We always appreciate those. But if you're going to contribute $5, I've got I'm going to set up an email where I can send you my ongoing draft board as it goes. So we always talk about these draft scenarios, and I talk about my rankings, and I put in all the combine and pro day numbers from these guys, and I constantly update it. It's something that I would send out to you guys via email once a month, like during the season, to kind of give you like a depth chart. If something significant happens, maybe I can send it out more frequently during draft season. I definitely would want to send it out more frequently to keep people up to date. But that would go up for our $5 contributors. And then if you're willing to go up to $10, I'm going to set up some like conference call type scenarios where I can have conference calls with the contributors at that level, where all of us can get on a kind of like my Periscopes, except it will be just specifically for this level of a contributor. It's going to be specific for them. So we're trying to find ways to get more specific information out to people that are interested in that and that want to contribute to help us fund the podcast, because we want to expand and do more things and keep contributing, or you know, giving more content and more interesting ways to, you know, bring on guests and stuff like that that fans have been asking for. We want to be able to meet those needs. And,
some demands, and this might be why we're stagnating in the rankings.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
So everybody, please check that out if they get a chance. And that's it for this week. And until next time, let's go Lions.